Now read from the Bible. Today's passage is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 through 25. Now I'll read. Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You will not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die." After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, "While the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us and when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him that the child is dead? He may do something desperate." David noticed that his attendants were whispering amongst themselves, and he realized the child was dead. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat?" He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live." But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went into her and made love with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ alone, we can have hope for salvation, and we thank you for that. The Lord alone is the one who is worship worthy of our praise. You provide for us and protect us, and you also provide guidance for us. We wait for the second coming of Christ. And with all the other Christians around the world, we continue to worship you and praise your name. We thank you for your strength and love and your desire for us to be united. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to worship with you and share a bit from the Bible passage we just read. In 2023, in January, there was an incident that happened in Japan. Perhaps you still remember it. there was this 17-year-old boy who went to a rotating sushi restaurant and licked the parts of the soy sauce dispensers and the teacups. And his friends sat there and recorded this on his phone and put it on social media. This video spread like fire, and it really hit hard. Because of this, the stock of that restaurant went down 16 billion yen because people refused to go to the restaurant. This young man apologized. However, because of the problems he caused, there was a court trial aiming at getting 67 million yen in damages from the lawyer. However, this case was dismissed due to different negotiations. Some people said, why would you charge a youngster that much of a fee? Why would you sue such a young child? But the lawyer had a different perspective, saying that in this case, it was only the boy that was going to be sued. And in that way, you can tell that they weren't expecting him to actually pay it back because there's no way he could have. They were realizing that there was a way they could get that much money, but they wanted to just show the society that this was a serious offense. And if they didn't try to show how it was causing such damages, then there would be further problems likely that would occur in the society. When you commit sin, you do need to ask for forgiveness and take responsibility for it. When I think about this incident, I realize that the forgiveness our sin is something that is greatly appreciated. When we ask for forgiveness before the Lord, He forgives us for what we have done. And there are times, though, when we have to take responsibility for what we've done. We have to, face up to it and to deal with possibly other people that were involved or people we may have hurt in the process. Through doing this, we can learn many things. Today, we're looking at what has happened as a result of David's sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba became pregnant as a result. David then had her husband Uriah killed on the battlefield to try to cover it all up. So adultery and murder, which were at those days worthy of the death penalty according to the law of Moses. However, when God was able to get through to David about what he had done, David became broken and really asked for God's forgiveness, and in that way God forgave him. However, God didn't just let him completely off the hook. He had the child born between him and Bathsheba, the child, die. Today we're learning from that story and seeing how it impacts us today in our lives. The title of today's message is The Death and the Son of David and Bathsheba, and we're looking at three main points. The first point today is thinking about the death of a child. Let's look at verse 15. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. At this time, David realized that he might lose his child. And it would have been truly a devastating for him to think about that. When any parent loses their child, they even if it isn't their fault, they still just feel some sort of responsibility. For this instance, David realized that if this child was to die, then it truly was his responsibility. He went into his room and he started to pray in an intercessory manner for his child. Verse 17. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. David fasted, and for a period of a week, he continued to pray to God. However, after the seventh day, the child died. This child who was just born and now dead, where did they go? This is a question that people even today are asking. When their young child, when their baby dies, possibly due to a traffic accident or whatever, people ask this question. People sometimes blame themselves, but they say that if it's a young enough child, they wouldn't have a concept of sin yet, so that means they wouldn't go to heaven. In the Bible, it doesn't really clearly define this answer, the answer to this question, but many theologians have looked at the Bible and believe that young children, babies, do go to heaven when they die. And we can see that is true in David's case. When his child died, his attendants were scared to tell David that he had died. They knew that David had really prayed intensely for the revival of his child, and so they were terrified of this. They said, you know, he might do something that's terrible. They were fearing that David may even take his own life. However, when David heard that his child had died, how did he respond? Verse 20. Then David got up from the ground. After he washed and put on his lotions, he changed his clothes. He went to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his house, and at his request, they served him food and he ate. You can see just how quickly David changed, and his attendants were shocked. And they asked him why. David replied by saying, verse 23, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. David had a strong conviction of God's forgiveness, and he had conviction that even he had a conviction also that his child went to heaven and that he himself would go to heaven as well. David was able to stand up strong and quickly in this instance because he was had the confidence in, of God from God that he would be able to see his son again. When children die young, they can go to heaven. And in the Old Testament, there are other instances of this. For example, in the Old Testament, there's a character of Job who went through a lot of trials and is known for doing that. There was one time where Job lost his family and his belongings. After overcoming all of this, God actually blessed him with twice as much as what he had before. For example, he lost 7,000 sheep and received 1,400 in return. He lost 6,000 camels. 3,000 camels and got 6,000 in return. However, there's one example that doesn't where the numbers don't add up. Job lost 10 sons and daughters. However, after it, he didn't get double the number of children back. He got the same number. So only the children were not of double number. This you can infer from this that his original children were still alive in heaven. And in that way, he did get double back. We can see from this, through the book of Job as well, that there is hope for heaven. I would like to share the testimony of a husband and wife. They had been married for 15 years, and finally they were able to have a son. They were very happy and enjoyed having him very much. However, a tragedy occurred when he was 3 years old. He was playing with a ball, and the ball went out in the road, and he went to go get it. He was hit by a car and died. His family were in deep distress and sadness over this. The husband and wife, their sadness turned to anger against God. And they told God, "God, if you were just going to take a child away, why'd you give him to us in the first place? It would be better if he hadn't been there." And they kept asking God, why and why and why. However, it came to a time when they were praying to God that they were able to get light, a little light of hope on their distress. They realized that God is love and that there must have been a reason that they are unaware of for such a tragedy, and that God must have given them some kind of form of consideration of this. With their son confidently in heaven, then they were able to have joy once again. They said, "At first, we were very distraught over our son's death and were angry at God for giving to us in the first place. However, we haven't lost our son. He hasn't gone to a place where we will never see him again, but he's just been moved to a different location. And we can't explain exactly all we're feeling about this, but we do know that our son is in heaven and that we have hope for seeing him. And we have been given the faith to be able to patiently wait for that day." David prayed to God as well, asking for the life of his son, and his son was taken to heaven. Amongst you here today, it's possible that some of you have lost young children or even grandchildren. You can have hope, though. Those children have gone to heaven, and they are eagerly awaiting seeing you. For our lives, the rest of our lives here, we can walk following God's word, knowing that we will be able to see our loved ones again. We can learn this from David's story in the passage today. We'll look at the second point. The child that bore the sin. David was guilty of adultery and murder. In those days, according to the law of Moses, he should have faced the death penalty. However, even though David was supposed to die, his child died in his place. This is a very deep theological concept. Someone who was sinless take on the penalty of sin. And we can relate to how this was impacts us and the death of Jesus, who is sinless, the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sin. David's son died for David in his place, and in our place, Jesus Christ has died. So this is an example or a picture of Jesus and what he would do a thousand years later. We all are people of sin. Maybe we haven't done as bad a thing as what David has done, but the Bible clearly states that we are all sinners. Anyone we have hurt in any way, that can also be counted just simply as sin. There was a while ago when there was a husband and wife went to a camp retreat. It was about 2 or 3 days. And in one of the sessions, there was a session on anger management, and it was an opportunity for people to learn about how to control their anger. And there was many husband and wives at this conference, and the teacher would allow them to talk about how their anger ranked in 5 levels. Level 1 was that they just were a little upset about something. Well, if you get up to 4, it was like wanting to divorce their spouse. And 5 was like you've wanted to die. Oh, they wanted to kill their spouse. But there was actually a lot of people who had a level 5 because they... And people raised their hands for this. Thankfully, my wife didn't raise her hand for level 5. But you can realize that people do really have darkness in their hearts. And Over half of the murders that take place are said to be between people who are actually very close in a relationship. In France, there was a thinker by the name Montaigne who said at one time, "There is no good man in the world. If anyone was had to pay for the penalty of the things they even thought of doing in their mind, they'd have to pay the death penalty over 10 times." David had that sin, and we do too. We have to take responsibility for the bad things we do, and that's why we are all headed for destruction. However, the Bible says that that sin is just too much to bear. There's no way we can pay for what we have done. And in order to avoid this, God sent Jesus Christ to resolve this problem. Jesus has resolved it, and we just need to believe in Him. A person who is not even directly related to us has completely resolved this issue for us. Why is it that Jesus did this for us? Why did He provide a way for our sins to be forgiven? The reason is written in Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Here, Jesus saw there was joy, and that is what enabled Him to enter the cross. So what is this joy that is talked about here? That is, through Jesus' death and resurrection, many would be saved. Past the terribleness of the cross, there would be salvation for many souls. Through the darkness Jesus had to face, He was able to see into the future of and how that would be joy. It would be our faces, my face and yours. That is what enabled Jesus to endure the cross. To take responsibility for sin is what Jesus did for us. And we can learn that concept from looking at the child, David's child, and the child dying in his place. Let's look at the final point today. The love of the Father God. In today's passage, David's son was about to die, and he was going through a deep sadness. That is an example of God, Father God's stance as He watched Jesus die. Father God sent Jesus Christ here, and He loved Jesus very much. He loved Him. He was His only Son. But despite that, He sent Him to the cross. I would like to share the testimony of another person before closing today. It's a very famous gospel singer by the name of Chu Kosaka. He was one who actually formed a group called YMO with another Ryuichi Sakamoto and Masataka Matsutoya and so on. In the 1970s, he was one who truly led the Japan Christian music scene in that industry. He became a Christian when his daughter was healed from a severe burn. In 1975, when his daughter was 2 years old, an incident occurred. She was just barely able to walk and walked into the kitchen and reached her hand up to the table, and what she pulled down was a pot of boiling hot water. This fell onto her body, and she got it all over her. Her parents tried to get ice and called an ambulance immediately. They took her to the hospital, and she had a lot of skin transplants over her entire body. It was kind of like a mummy wrap, and they told them she could. They would just give her a month and then see what would happen. At that time, Mr. Kosaka realized that as a father, he wanted to do whatever he possibly could for her. after a while had passed, his wife's mother came, and she was a strong Christian and prayed very hard for the child's healing. And she said that there was a church nearby, and that why wouldn't he go there to have him prayed for it? He had never had any interaction with Christianity prior to this, but he decided that he was going to do whatever he could to have his daughter healed. So he went to the church. The people at the church prayed for the revival of his daughter, prayed and in such a way that he was impressed that people would pray for him, a person that they didn't even know. After a month had gone by, they removed the wrapping on her body, and she had been completely healed. The people around him said, "Wow, you know, this child was able to really recover so quickly. That's amazing." But Mr. Kosaka was convinced that that could not have happened. It was the prayers of the Christians that God had listened to that had healed his daughter completely. And after that, he started to go to church, and the whole family did. After a while, he really understood how God's love was directed at him as well. When he realized this, it was a time when the pastor was talking about the love of God. At that time, Mr. Kosaka stopped and thought and really wondered why God didn't help Jesus on the cross. He realized that he would have done whatever he possibly could to have helped his daughter. And God, who wasn't human but omniscient, omniscient and omnipotent, could have done anything. Wasn't he just acting cold toward Jesus by not doing anything? But he realized that finally that his son was connected to the sin that Jesus was paying for on the cross. And that is why God didn't go to help Jesus off the cross. And he started to cry uncontrollably when he realized how much God truly loved him. He realized he needed God's love. He needed God's salvation. And in order to do that, he had to take action right then. And so on that day, he professed faith in Christ and became a Christian. Thereafter, he would look back on this incident and say that Jesus Christ has totally changed his life and his world and his work in the music industry and as well. God sent Jesus to die for us on the cross and sacrificed him in order to protect us. That is the love of God, and it is directed toward us. I'd like us to remember that today. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? We too can learn from this story about David and his son. We can remember about the cross. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. Today we've learned a story about how David's son died. And he wondered sometimes people wonder where do young children go when they die? From the passage we read today, we can learn the answer to this question. If there's anyone who is dealing with the death of a child, may they be feeling hope and encouragement through today's passage, knowing that that child is in heaven. We've also learned about the concept of this child dying in David's place and how that is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus took all of our sin upon himself when he didn't even have sin at all and paid the price of our sin on the cross, and we're very thankful for that. David lost his child, and we can reflect on how God was dealing very with this difficult difficulty in seeing Jesus die. We can experience and appreciate his love for us even greater because of that. Allow us to walk forward this coming week with that perspective. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you today and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this coming week and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements about close today. Please refer to the screen in front. The women's group has an announcement. The other day, they had a testimony event, and they are offering free CDs of that. If you would like to receive one, please sign up for one. And in the day upcoming, you'll be able to receive it. This is a concert that will support a local children's home, and it will be held on March 16th. The tickets are 1,000 yen, proceeds benefiting the children's home. Anyone who has a young child who is unable to stay seated during the service is welcome to borrow a receiver, and then they can listen to the sermon if they need to be walking around with their child during the service time. Please ask for one if you don't know where they are. Joyful Christmas 2024 DVDs are now available. If you have signed up to receive one, please speak to a pastor for a copy. In March, there is the Spring Marché, and this will support the 2025 Joyful Christmas event. Please be looking forward to it. There's information about this that's set out if you would like to receive more information. There's a famous Christian, the story of his life that has been made into a movie on March 8th. Tickets are being sold. This is, once again, next Saturday. It's going to be shown three different times, starting at 10:30 and also at 2 p.m. and in the evening as well. It's going to be at the Tochigi Welfare Plaza, and you are welcome to pick up a ticket if you would like to go attend this. If you have small children, you can also attend as well, and young children, junior high school and younger, can attend for free. Today we have a JoJo and Valentine event. This is a women's group event, and Marina will be giving testimony today. We encourage you to attend. Now we would like to... First, we would like to introduce a visitor. Please stand when your name is called so we can welcome you. Enoch is here. Welcome. Thank you for coming today. You can have a seat. And now we'll celebrate people with birthdays this coming week. Anyone with a birthday this coming week, please stand up so we can celebrate with you. Mayumi, and is Kaneko-san here now? We'll sing happy birthday to Mayumi. Congratulations, may you be blessed. Now we will have communion. You are welcome to just stay seated, and the pastors will come bring communion to you. So just stay where you're seated and take it when you receive it. Please only take this if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to celebrate communion today. We know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself on the cross. He died, and on the third day, he was risen, resolving this problem of sin. By receiving this truth, we can have hope for salvation and hope for heaven. We thank you very much for that. We know, Lord, that you are always with us and that you have a plan for us and provide us with guidance as well. Through communion, Lord, we can see how you have shown your love to us and can appreciate just how deep and advanced it is. We thank you for this opportunity and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.